There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Saving money on remodeling your home at Menards. Start your tile project off right with DentShield Tile Backer from Georgia Pacific. It's proven to protect against moisture in your walls and subfloors, with a built-in water barrier, making it perfect to use in damp areas like kitchens and bathrooms. Plus, its easy-to-cut design makes installation a breeze. Save big on Georgia Pacific DentShield Tile Backer panels. On sale through March 2nd. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Keandre Lambert-Smith. You're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier. And man, today we're going to talk prospects, Cody. We have some new scouting profiles up on the site, some rookie spotlights, 2025 rookie spotlights, blasting through these wide receivers, and hopefully starting to get some of the running back previews up before we head to the combine. We'll continue to have the show live from the combine and through the different pro days and stuff like that, all the coverage that you're used to expecting. Make sure to like and subscribe here on the YouTube page. And if you're listening on the podcast, if you could leave us a rating and a review there, that would be great too, to help other people find the show and discover it, especially during this time of year where we're set to dominate as far as the information we bring you about these incoming rookie prospects. And just, Cody, just speaking of the rookies, I know. So today let's talk about Emeka Egbuka from Ohio State. We'll talk about LeJonte Wester from Colorado, and we'll talk about Keandre Lambert-Smith from Auburn, previously a Penn State to Auburn. Before we do that, just something I wanted to talk about on the last show, but we just didn't get to it because it was the Super Bowl preview, all the rest, was this narrative that I was texting with our friend Matt Kelly about, something that Theo and Matt were talking about on their show, the Sonic Truth Dynasty podcast. They were doing a super flex rookie mock draft, right? And Matt was saying, you know, he got the 101 in this draft, right? And he was saying they're like, well, congratulations. You just got the easiest pick that there is, you know, even in super flex, because you should take Ashton Jeanty here, right? The running back out of Boise State that was just a complete dominator this season. Anybody that watched college football, or if you just, you know, you go on Prize Picks and you just mess around with college football fantasy stuff or pick'ems, you just know that this dude was a walking, you know, 200 ball as far as his rushing yards, and just, you know, broke all the records for forced missed tackles, all the rest of it, right? And so Matt's take on this whole thing was to say, like, well, I thought you told me that this was an awesome running back class. If it's such an awesome running back class, why is there no discussion as to who the RB1 should be? It's like any other time that there's been an awesome running back class, there's at least somebody saying, like, oh, well, there's this guy and this guy and this guy. How can there be this one player that's so good, right? And look, we've been over this stuff about the wide receiver class in 2025 being somewhat down. Although the guys that we're going to talk about today, Cody, you have a really high grade on Egbuka. I think the NFL does too. But he's one of these ones that, you know, one of only really a few of these guys that project as potential first round picks, whereas these running backs who don't go in the first round anymore, Jeanty probably will. But I'm just looking at this list of players, And I'm thinking to myself, you get down to RB20 and there's, you get down to RB25 and there's still running backs here that I am super interested in. That could be like, not just kind of be good the same way that say last year, I might've been interested in an Isaiah Davis or something like this in round four of my, of one of my rookie mocks this season. I'm looking at some of these guys. I'm like, I see a guy at RB20, RB25, if they fall to the right place, I'll be taking them with like the 1-2 turn. Like, you know what I mean? Or not? I guess not really a turn in a dynasty rookie draft, but I'll be taking him there at the beginning of the second round. You know what I mean? And just to think that, just to say that it's not, does that line of thinking make sense to you? It can't be a good running back class if Ashton Jeanty is really that far ahead of the rest, because if he's that far ahead of the rest, it means that there's a big talent gap. And I can understand the point, right? I can understand the point. What do you make of that take? Because there's something fundamentally about me that just completely disagrees.
I think there's a multiple ways to look at it. We've built this class, especially at the running back position, up to be potentially the greatest running back group in the modern era. And that the last class that was similar to this was the 17 class. Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey, both first round picks, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Kamara, Kareem Hunt. I can keep going. James Conner was in that one. Jamal Williams lasted, I don't know what, 6-7 years. Like, it was a loaded class, and there was a bunch more names I could have went through there. And Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey were the two clear-cut guys, right? And yes, we've had the Bijan and the Gibbs. Matt, of course, remembers the Jonathan Taylor and the Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That thing should have never, ever been as close as it was. And the only reason it was, you know, I mean, that also had Swift and Akers and Dobbins. Like, I understand that.
But that was not close from a pure prospecting standpoint. Nobody had Clyde. Like, it was
correct.
That whole thing was an indictment on your correct process, whether or not you just put landing spot and all the rest is more important than the actual talent profile.
Correct. But the profile of Jonathan Taylor, what we knew coming into that was what he was. The problem is he just had so much tread on his tires, rushing so dominant at Wisconsin. Like, I think if you take a half step back, you realize that Taylor was a considerable value. And also the state of the running back position at that specific time. I think where Matt is wrong here is that he's looking at this class like past classes. Like, he's trying to say, well, if it's this, then why isn't it that? Well, here's the thing. Like, Jeanty wasn't looked at as this conversation a year ago. Some people will say, well, yeah, Jeanty. No, Ashton Jeanty was not in this conversation a year ago. He just wasn't.
Ollie Gordon was.
It was Trey Henderson.
So he was like running back 10 for some people.
Quinshon Judkins from Ohio State. It was Ollie Gordon. It was Omarion Hampton. Like, those were the bulk. It was supposed to be a good class. Jeanty just came in and had a world-class season and is looking now like a world-class prospect that we're assuming he's going to continue through the process. And he's created a gap. He went from behind to creating a gap ahead of all of these guys. But that has nothing to do with the strength of the class. You can still have a very good class and still have one super elite prospect. I mean, it's just like the Bijan and Gibbs thing. Like, Gibbs was looked at as a high-end prospect, and then he transferred to Alabama and closed the gap. If Gibbs never transfers to Alabama, who's to say at Georgia Tech he gets the same draft capital or is looked at in the same eye?
He wouldn't have.
He wouldn't have. Exactly is the point. So Jeanty, because of what he did and because of where the running back group is right now in the NFL with – kind of all that 2017 class kind of coming down to the end of their careers. McCaffrey, of course, Kamara, blah, blah, blah. You can keep on going. And the running back kind of – the season of the running back was 2024, right? Saquon had the great season. Henry had a great season. And now we're looking like, okay, well, running back's starting to get a little more attention because of what Gibbs did, being a first-round pick, Bijan, whatever. I don't think that you can look at this class of backs and being like, well, if it's such a good class, why is Jeanty – so clear cut. My brain doesn't work that way. My brain doesn't tell me like, well, two things cannot, I don't even know how to explain it, Alex. Like, two things can be different. Does that make sense? I don't know. But
it's like what I'm saying. It's sort of a confusing take, because to me, the way that I can't wrap my head around that, because the way that I see that is I say, this is a really good year if you need it, like if you're like if you just got one of these teams where you just like you picked up an orphan, or all of a sudden, you know, it's like the guys you decided to build around a couple years ago were like, yeah, Christian McCaffrey and Javonte Williams, or you know, like something like that, where you're just like, man, I need a reboot here at running back. This class is just what the doctor ordered. I see we have a question from Dan B. In the chat. We'll get to that in a second, Dan. And thanks to everybody for being here. Harry Snowman, Barry Sorrell, our guy, man. 88 is great. Mannyville 8. So good to see you guys, man. We'll get to that question, because I think what Dan B's asking is like, dude, Cody, just Omarion Hampton is basically the best running back two in a class that I could ever imagine. The more and more I watch of Omarion Hampton, the more and more impressed I become with his just overall skill set. And I'm beginning to think that he's going to be like a hellified pass catcher at the NFL level too, based on some of these games that I've been watching more recently. I think I'm higher on Caleb Johnson from Iowa than you are. I think I'll probably in my initial rankings have him slotted in as my running back three, ahead of the Ohio State guys. I'm not locked into that one bit right now. I still have to do all the, you know, I'm going to go through everyone with the formal evals as you turn them in, as Trashman turns them in. And that's where I get a bulk of my, my work doing this is just editing y'all stuff and going through the all 22s and watching and formulating my own thoughts and adding in my own thoughts to the scouting profiles and doing the quality control. As I continue to get through them, that's obviously the bulk of my process. Also writing my own articles about, these scouting reports. So this isn't stuck in stone, but I think that when I look at Caleb Johnson from Iowa, Omarion Hampton, Ashton Jeanty, I look at those three and I'm like, how can it, like, what's the last top three that we had like this? And then we have the Ohio State guys, Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins, who you have ranked ahead of Caleb Johnson. I respect your process. I understand probably why you've done that. We have Ollie Gordon. And then here's the other thing too, man. We just start looking at some of these other guys and we say, I'm just like, I would love to have Dylan Sampson or RJ Harvey in the second round of my dynasty rookie draft. I would love that. And I don't even know where they're going to fall, but both those guys are so like, do people watch college football last year to understand, you know, these are game wreckers, dude. These are players where it's like, that's your best guy on offense. When you look at Tennessee, that's a takeover football game type of player. Did anybody watch Cam Scatabo at the beginning of the college football playoff, going to Austin and playing Texas and just having a, or wait, that was the Peach Bowl. That was Clemson that came to Austin. So did they watch the Peach Bowl versus Texas and see like the most dominant single player performance of the whole college football playoff, you know? And then that's before we even start talking about guys that I personally really love. Like I really love Jarquez Hunter from Auburn. I don't see how you could be a fan of SEC football and listen to those media coaches calls every single week, where every single week a team was going to face Auburn and, you know, that this could have something to do with the fact we're about to talk about Keandre Lambert-Smith that was their leading wide receiver on that team this last year. But maybe it had to do with the fact of the matter that, you know, Keandre Lambert-Smith was the leading receiver on that team. The guy that you were going to worry about most was Jarquez Hunter. But I think that's a professional running back with awesome contact balance. I think that's just add water, drag and drop into an NFL offense. He's at the very least going to be really good. And then you intermingled in all this stuff is your Brashad Smith from SMU that just was a complete riser at the Senior Bowl. Damian Martinez, who was a baller at Florida that weighs almost 230 pounds but moves very well, probably going to run in the low 4.5s, possibly the high 4.4s. You have Woody Marks from USC with the really good BMI. We were able to see him at the Senior Bowl, put together so well. You have to get almost down to running back 20 before you even talk about Devin Neal, that might be the fastest of all these guys. It's had 3,000-yard seasons. When the running back kind of 21 to 26 area, you have Donovan Edwards that was on the cover of the NCAA college football game this year. You have Marcus Yarns, who was another Senior Bowl standout. LaQuint Allen from Syracuse that some people have like in their top if you have guys that some people have at 22 and some people have it like 7, that's a deep, good running back class. Yeah. And so it, like, to me, if this is a year where you need running backs, guess what? You are in luck. If you need wide receivers, you are out of luck. If you need quarterbacks in super flex, you're out of luck. If you need tight ends in tight end premium, I think you're in a little, you're in for some good luck. No, but it's, dude, as far as these running backs, I mean, at the top, it's nothing but sizzle. And then like, it's not just like sizzle at the top with no, like, there's just like, there's the sizzle, then there's the meat, and there's the potatoes, and there's like anything that you could want from this class. You have out of like 25 running backs, and it's not until we get to running. I just want to look up last year. I wish I could,
you know how hard it is for me to rank
and just see where like number running back 21, like who that even was last season.
Rocket Sanders is 20. Do you know how hard it is for me to rank Rocket Sanders 27?
It's just,
I don't feel like you sit here and you go through your process and you rank them, and I saw Rocket in person.
Because you can be so wrong about that. Here's the thing. It's like you're going to end up looking so wrong. You're like, Cody, how did you have Rocket Sanders ranked as, you know, running back 27? We just came in and he rushed for 1,100 yards as a rookie and 7 touchdowns.
And you're like, I'm not surprised.
And you're not. And yeah. And you could say, well, that doesn't surprise me in the least. He was an awesome prospect. Right. Because if you just, I pulled up 2024 just now just to look at it. And we get down to running back 21. And we're talking about guys like Deshaun Fenwick from Oregon State.
Didn't make a roster.
Mayan Williams from Ohio State. Imani Bailey from TCU. George Holani from Boise State. Dejun Edwards from Georgia. Keelan Robinson from Texas. Dylan Johnson from Washington. Cody Schrader from Missouri. We can even get up to, say, our consensus outside of Isaac Garrido, who ended up hitting. The other guys that were kind of consensus, like, you know, after you get done with like the Ray Davises and the Tyrone Tracys and Lloyd and Audric Estime, those guys were all top 10, right? After that, it's like the Michael Wileys and Isaiah Davis, you know, Frank Gore Jr., Rasheen Ali, right? Whereas above them, you have the, you know, the Estimes or like the, you know, Bucky Irvings or Marshawn Lloyd or stuff like that. It's like, I would rather have the 25th ranked player in this running back class, then I would have had like a Michael Wiley or an Isaiah Davis or a Blake Watson or certainly a Frank Gore Jr., Rasheen Ali, Kamani Vidal. It's an unbelievable running back class. And I hope the narrative doesn't, or maybe it will. I hope it does, because I'm going to draft in a bunch of dynasty rookie drafts. And so are you guys. But the narrative shouldn't be that just because Ginty feels like he's head and shoulders above the rest, that the rest of this running back class stinks. Dude, it's deep and it's good. And you're going to want to be drafting a bunch. Like, I think that the best thing that you can do this year is maybe hope to get one of these top wideouts at the beginning, and then just round 2, 3, 4, just get banger after banger as far as these running backs. I would prefer that I think that's a better way of going about it than getting Ashton Ginty and trying to fill out running back with these scrub or filling out wide receiver with these scrubs that are going to be available in the second, third, and fourth rounds.
You go back an extra year before that, dude, and you're running back 16, 17, where this class where I have it right now is Devin Neal, who you just mentioned, 3,000-yard season. This could be the fastest of the whole group, is sitting there right at 17. Woody Marks from USC at 16, who we just saw at the Senior Bowl. You go back to 2023, Dwayne McBride. Like, that's the depth point right there. That's the depth point. Dwayne McBride, people loved him, but he didn't make the roster. Xavier Valade, like, it just falls off so quickly.
Xavier Valade. Dude, we're talking about Xavier Valade versus, like, being ranked, Devin, like, 8 spots ahead of where we have, like, this year, like, Jaden Blue. They could go and be dynamite in some offense. It's like, there's a million of them. We haven't even listed all the 2025 guys yet.
The biggest thing I think I'll close on, in my final thought here, is accept that this is a world-class running back group. It's a down receiving class, but what have we had the last 4 years? Up in the receiving group since that N'Keal Harry year. It's been better every single year in the receiving group. And the running backs have just kind of been here. You get a nice guy or two every year.
Yep.
The running back group is now filled in completely for that receiver group, which dynasty gamers should be completely in love with because they need it. And the tight end group is totally sick. They're six deep. Receiver, there's still going to be six guys that we really like. And quarterback,
maybe eight.
Is what it is.
Maybe eight. I mean, it's just depending on the whole Trey Harris thing and stuff. But we can talk about that whenever we talk about these dudes. But yeah, continue. Like, I don't think it's just six. I think there's probably like eight.
But it's the overall class, and that, and like he brought up Matt brought up, like, why is this? Like, it's not just about the running backs. It is about the running backs, but it's also about the whole class as a whole. And you need to view it from a top down and not just say, well, like, the running backs carry it. The receivers have carried it every year, except for, you know, the couple of years that you get a good crop of quarterbacks. But it's a very good class. It's not overrated. It's going to replenish every dynasty roster on the face of the planet unless you are an autopilot, not paying attention. And you're going to get right back to receivers. Trust me, we're going to get right back to receivers the next 3-4 years and beyond. We do a lot of stuff with Texas in recruiting.
Yeah.
The cycles are only getting bigger.
Wait till 2027.
Yeah. Bigger, faster, stronger. You get Jeremiah Smith. We're going to end up with a Chris Henry Jr., a Booby Feaster. Like, that's going to be your down. And these guys are 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", monster Adonises. So don't worry about your receiving groups. Your tight ends are staying strong, getting more athletic. And the quarterbacks, I think there's this guy named Arch Manning potentially coming out in the next 2 years. So
Overall,
it's not an overrated class. It's a very good class. Ashton Jeanty is just a world-class running back.
Can you believe that you're going to be able to draft a Manning in your dynasty league that's going to rush for like 55 yards a game? It's just too much. All right. Let's talk about, I mean, Emeka Egbuka is on the cover here. So let's go ahead and talk about him. I mean, you're super high on him. You're higher on him than I am. Whenever I look at Egbuka, I think he's good. I have him in my top five. I have two main questions for you. So one is, do you think he plays? I don't have it pulled up. I should have looked before the show, but just from watching football, I know he's predominantly slot. Three questions. Does Emeka Egbuka have to play slot at the next level? Right. It's kind of like going back to the Ohio State kind of, you know, maybe a little bit of the kind of JSN talk, right? Second question, I know he was a little bit banged up last year, but to what do you attribute the fact that he was better in 2022 and in 2024 than he was in 2023? Again, I know he missed some games. Was that the Kyle McCord factor? And thirdly, do you think would you like him to be a little bit faster?
I'm not worried about the speed. I think this guy's going to run the mid 4.5s. I think he's going to have a very good combine. I think you're going to be watching the gauntlet. This is going to be a gauntlet guy that I think.
It's clear. I mean, yeah.
We know is going to excel in it.
Yeah.
I think you can't start the conversation about Emeka Egbuka, and I'll go through everything here, but you can't start it without saying this guy played with Jackson Smith and Jigba, Marvin Harrison Jr., Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins in this class, Jeremiah Smith in the next class, Carnell Tate in the next class, Brendan Ennis, a lot, of course, of good receivers from Ohio State. You talk about the slot. He played 79% of his reps in the slot this past year, up from 54% his freshman sophomore season. Emeka Egbuka, 6'1", 205 pounds. He turns 23 this fall. He's going to be a really good receiver. He's going to be, for me, and this is a conversation we had a lot of, Alex, I remember this vividly, sitting there in Lucas Oil watching that year, was the Garrett Wilson versus Chris Olave conversation. There's, of course, I'm not going to put a Garrett Wilson in this conversation, but what I'm having is a Chris Olave situation here where I kind of view Emeka in a similar boat, not the exact same, but a similar boat in that I just believe that this guy is going to get into any program in the NFL virtually and dial in. And he's going to be a pro's pro. He's going to be a consistent 1,000-yard guy. I comped him to some guys that I'm going to say him, and you're going to go, yeah, that makes sense for being a consistent player. Jarvis Landry, Robert Woods. That's kind of how I view him. I'm not worried about the speed. He was a five-star prospect coming out of high school, going to Ohio State, of course. It's kind of like the continued thing there. 29% of his 29% of the team's receiving touchdowns this year, 25% of the receptions, 24% of the yards. As far as what Emeka Egbuka brings to the table, consistency. And I'll just keep on saying consistency. 69% of his receptions, 194 career receptions, went for first downs or touchdowns. He was a number one wide receiver in his recruiting class back in 2021. 14 games with six or more receptions over the last three seasons. That's 37% of his games. And I'm going through and I'm doing like the grading and going through each different thing. And I guess the way you'd say it is 80th percentile or better, or 80% or better at the position in route tempo, route leverage, route running, adjusting to the ball, separation, natural hands, blocking. The yak could improve, but it's fine. I think his frame is beautiful. He fits the archetype. He's, I'm assuming, going to come in. He's listed 6'1", 205. I'm assuming he's going to be the 6'5", 201, which I love. I don't care. It's perfectly – I mean, this is the ideal receiver for me. No, he doesn't have the dynamism. He doesn't have the Jamar Chase factor. He doesn't have the quite Garrett Wilson, like, contortion ability factor. But the master of consistency, I think, is what Emeka Egbuka brings to the table.
I think Emeka Egbuka's, I think he's just really, really good. We talked about some of these running backs in this class are kind of just add water. I think that he's one of these guys that even more so than like a Luther Burden, who I think is more dynamic. I do think that, and I always tend to, I don't know if it's just me or whether it's like the process, how by osmosis, how it's been built into my process. I always kind of tend to lead toward upside. I see more in Luther Burden than I do in Egbuka. I think I see more in Ted McMillan than I do in Egbuka. Certainly see more in Travis Hunter. But the issue with Travis Hunter is taking him in these early dynasty rookie drafts. And I don't know if this conversation has been had or whether this is even out there, but are people in dynasty, and we have to get back to Danby's question, but let me ask you this before we get to the next player. Are people in dynasty rookie drafts right now taking into consideration and worrying at all that some team just drafts him and hasn't played corner and that hasn't played like 10 snaps a game on offense? I mean, for dynasty, we kind of need to consider that, don't we?
That's my assumption. That what you just laid out is my exact assumption. And why
Casey shouldn't be the wide receiver one in rookie drafts.
You can't mock him. You can't assume to mock or draft Travis Hunter, I think, in the top 10. You at least have to let him fall out of there, because I think you have a major, major, major factor as far as longevity goes that he plays predominantly defense, and there's a package on offense where he plays between 10 and 15 snaps a game on offense.
It's not enough.
It's not enough, but Deion says everything Deion says. He says everything he says. It's a different game. Deion will come out, and he said, or he was on Rich Eisen last week, he's like, the NFL is easier. And it's easier in the fact that not everything's a hurry up like in college, as he said. You get longer time between snaps. Okay. But here's the thing, Alex. Bigger, stronger, faster.
It's not
grown men, period. Grown men, period. You're not going against, some scrub-a-dub-dub from Utah every snap. You're going against –
And I just got done watching Colorado versus Utah, and it wasn't because I was watching that. I was watching LaJonte Wester, and I was just like, Shadur Sanders didn't have the, he started out that game with a pick. The very first throw of the game, horrible pick on the very first throw of the game. It's not like they've had super easy times even versus the Utahs of the world. So no, I totally get it. I've been thinking about that with Hunter lately. I've always been like, well, he's the top receiver, right? It's like, well, for dynasty, is he really?
Can't be. Can't. You can't do it.
Yeah. All right. So let's get back to, I told Dan B we'd answer this question, even though we're kind of off this subject now. Dynasty rookie draft strategy question: one QB, half point PPR. He has picks 1, 4, 12, 6, and 24. Should I try and pair the lower picks and move up? Try to move the later picks, or should I just make the picks? I'm very thin at running back. So, dude, you used to answer your own question, Dan. You're very thin at running back. Just get running backs at 12, 16, and 24. All right?
101.
What?
He's got the 101.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So, you get Jenty at 4. Take, like, Luther Burden or, you know what I mean? Something like that. At 12, see what falls to you. You know, if one of the wide receivers falls, and then I would say 16 and 24, just get, take like, you know, whoever falls between like RJ Harvey and,
yeah,
you know, like Dylan Sampson, I think probably Travion will be gone. Omari and Hampton will be long gone. Caleb Johnson, I think, will be long gone. But dude, who like Travion, Quinshon, RJ Harvey, Dylan Sampson, this type of guy at 12, 16, maybe one of those dudes falls. Maybe there's some kind of landing spot, like Scadaboo or Trevor Etienne go to a good landing spot at 16. Then 24, just pick up like a Jarquez Hunter or Damian Martinez, and boom, you've remade your starting lineup. What about Keandre Lambert-Smith? Whenever I was reading your comps for him, because you said you thought he'd be a good role player in the league, I think you comped him to some mix of like a Dyami Brown and a Rashid Shaheed, which I thought their Shaheed stuff was interesting because I do agree with your take on the fact that when you watch Keandre Lambert-Smith, two things come to me when I watch him in the – three things really when I watch the Auburn offense. They need to get quarterback they've gone and gotten quarterback help, but they really needed it. The more I go and watch the All-22s, it was like if you were an Auburn fan last year, you definitely know this. We sort of knew in passing. They go out and they get Jackson Arnold from Oklahoma this year. We'll see how that all goes. Keandre Lambert-Smith is not going to be part of the equation. His quarterback did not give him any help. But another just eyeball thing, he was the team's alpha wide receiver. I'm sure he was the statistical leader on that football team as the wide receiver one. The other thing that comes to me is like Cody said, dude, just a whole ton of like digs and comebacks and curls and hooks and these types of routes, right? Really like good. He's going to be the guy that's good at the combine doing those, kind of getting out of what the getting out of his stem and coming back to the football. Really good with that, right? With that change of direction and his acceleration out of those cuts. I found it interesting that you compared him to Rashid Shaheed, this like this average depth of target monster that just can fly down the field. But then you did provide some good stats about how he actually was kind of targeted deep relatively often in comparison to other SEC wide receivers last year, despite the fact that some of his best traits come out on these sort of kind of comeback style routes. And just seeing him in college, I've kind of thought about Keandre Lambert-Smith as a dude who could have a shot at being an offense's alpha wide receiver. I think he's got a lot of really good skills. I personally don't think I can get him ranked in the top 10.
Yeah.
But I start to get around 10, 11, 12. And I'm like, man, I could maybe get Keandre Lambert-Smith over this guy. But you saw him live at the Shrine Bowl and stuff, right? So some of that's probably, you know, affecting your opinion. So what do you have on Keandre Lambert-Smith?
I thought he was good at the Shrine Bowl. Great dude. I talked to him for a couple minutes. I was like, I was getting his ID and I was explaining to him that we were doing like players of the day and stuff. And he's like, so you think I did good? You think I had a good day? And I was like, man, you've had a good couple of days. Like it's a pretty good receiving core. And he was one of the standouts along with like Konata Mumfield and stuff. Lambert was good, but I think, you know, an easy way to explain Konata Mumfield, I'll say it in here in a second, but I do want to say, he came in at the Shrine Bowl, 6 foot, half an inch, 193 pounds, sub nine inch hands. Sorry, just by a touch there. I finished with a 6-round grade on the guy. I'm projecting him for like a 4.38. That's going to build into
if he runs a 4.38, he ain't going 6 round, Cody. He's going for round 4.
Well, what did Rashid Shaheed do?
Well, I think the Keandre Lambert-Smith coming out is I have to go look back and see where we had Shaheed, but I mean I gotta think
UDFA.
Was Shaheed even at the combine?
I don't think so.
I don't think he was, man. I think that we're talking about a different level of prospect here. If he runs a 4.38, I think Keandre Lambert-Smith would be a guy that was early day three.
Okay. Well, that's fair. But here's the thing with Keandre Lambert-Smith. He was a high end prospect going to Penn State. He was good at Penn State. Here's some of the things. You talked about the comebacks already. Tons. It felt like pretty much everything he does is a comeback, a dig, a curl. 515 of 531 of his snaps came outside from the right side of the formation. It felt like 70% of the routes he ran, like I said, were shallow, intermediate digs and comebacks. I think he's a fine blocker. And you talked about the deep threat stuff. The deep threat stuff is like his speed is apparent in that. And it's very much like the digs, the cuts, the digs, the comebacks, and the curls. But then also he can go deep. He had 8 receptions of 30-plus yards, which ties – 2 names that people really know right now in the space. Matthew Golden, whose stock is blown through the roof from Texas, the receiver formerly of Houston, the junior. And Ryan Williams, Jordan Watkins from Ole Miss as well. But Ryan Williams, the just turned 18, former 17-year-old freshman receiver from Alabama. Everybody knows. That was 3rd in the SEC. He was sitting right there. I think he's a good receiver, but I like my comps in the Rashid Shaheed as not a complete receiver. He's a number 2. He's an outside Z flanker. Deami Brown, the same thing floats for him. Like, I love Deami Brown, 6'2", 185 pounds, fast. I thought he was – I talked to him at the Washington training camp before this season. He's like, I caught 500 balls every day this year. All right, well, what'd that translate to? It didn't quite work out this year, especially. But I love Deami coming out of North Carolina, right? I like Keandre Lambert-Smith. I'm just not sure – actually, I'm pretty sure he's not a complete receiver. He's got a ways to go within his growth in the game at the wide receiver position. I will pretty completely disagree with you in the fact that I don't believe that he has wide receiver one abilities in the NFL, which he doesn't have to have. I don't think he has to be that. I don't think he's good.
I kind of think he's just good.
I think he's fine. I don't think he's bad. I think he's good. But being good to me isn't being a wide receiver one in the NFL. Unless you're talking about a team that, like, if you go to Washington, you take away Terry McLaurin, and there's no Terry McLaurin, right? Who's the number one? Deami Brown.
Well, I mean, this is a pretty pathetic setup.
But that's your setting.
You're not going to make Olamide Zaccheaus or Luke McCaffrey your number one.
My point. That's exactly my point. Is that if you take away Terry McLaurin, Deami is your wide receiver one. Why isn't Deami your wide receiver one right now? Because he's Deami Brown. Keandre Lambert-Smith would be your number one if he was in that situation without Terry McLaurin. He wouldn't be the number one over Terry McLaurin. He wouldn't be the number one over Adam Thielen. I think that those guys are just different football players. More developed route runners, more developed blockers. He has
STEM stuff that's really good. I mean, like we just talked about it. I think he's gonna have one of these kind of route transition point combines that we're gonna look back. It's like he's gonna grade out well on the combine scorecard. I think I might like him a little more than you, but that's fine.
Did you come up with a comp on him?
No. I thought because I wanted to talk to you about your comps first to kind of see where you're. I just didn't the Rashid Shaheed one kind of. I just wanted to talk to you first. I'll add it into the sheet whenever I think of it. I don't have a perfect one right now, and I like him to be perfect before I go public with him. I do have some perfect ones here for quickly. We'll talk about LeJonte Wester from Colorado, Trash Man. Looks at this. Here's another guy that I think he's kind of good. He was at Florida Atlantic for the longest time. Actually broke out in his redshirt freshman season at just age 19. He's a young breakout kind of guy, and you know was actually productive in a Colorado offense that featured a Heisman Trophy winning receiver/corner, right? Like he was actually productive within that offense. Clearly he had one of the top 2 quarterbacks in the class throwing in the ball. He's 5'9", 177, tiny little puny little baby, 8 1/8 inch, 8 1/8 inch hands. Also, basically the shortest wingspan in the whole class. Him and Xavier Restrepo, just tiny, tiny, tiny little wingspans. But Trashman really likes him. He said, you know, in his review of the Shrine Game practices, he was one of the biggest risers for him. And I do just think he's one of these guys, just generally kind of good football player. But I do think, you know, the small hand stuff, he's a body catcher. horrible, not horrible, but got pretty basement level yards per route run. But you turn it on. I mean, do you think it's just a Shedeur Sanders type of deal here with him? Whenever I look at him, Trashman says he's like, oh my gosh, he's like Brandon Cooks meets Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I can't leave that up on the site, right? That's overselling the guy. My perfect comps for him are Trey Tucker, Jacob Cowing, Kiki QT. What are your thoughts?
I think I put Trey Tucker in as well. Like, that's when I came away with the Shrine Bowl. I tweeted it out from the RosterWatch account that he is Mr. Consistency. We sat there in Mobile and watched Trey Tucker be Mr. Consistency. I talked to him and he was just dialed. Boom, boom, boom. He didn't drop anything. He was just consistent across the board, consistently good, consistently fine. I don't think that he's a byproduct of Shedeur Sanders. Like, he broke out by himself at Florida International, had over 100 catches. You don't just fall into 100 catches and 1,000 yards. You don't do that. And he's a talented wide receiver. The problem is, like you mentioned before, it's going to be what carries him as a prospect. It's him that carries guys. Like, I know he's thicker. When you get up on him, he's not that much thicker or bigger than like a Tez Johnson or a Tank Dell. He's very much puny. Josh Downs-esque, I guess you'd say. 4.49, I don't know about – I think he's faster than that as far as the projected 40 in there. I saw Trey Tucker, though. That was 100% what I saw in LeJonte. And like I said, the biggest takeaway I had coming away from the Shrine Bowl was just Mr. Consistency. And I have him ranked rather low overall in the entire wide receiver class, but it's predominantly built on – he's small. He's undersized. And I think I like guys, like Lambert Smith – like your boy Restrepo from Miami. I thought the Shrine Bowl, Juice Wells was fantastic. Even Ricky White, who's a guy from UNLV, who we'll talk about on a different show. Very similar in build, but much more long, much lankier. He's got like 2 inches on his arms. He's got a couple inches on wingspan. A guy at UNLV and a part of a great wide receiver group with Brendan Marion as the coach and Jacob DeJesus. Like, there's other guys that I just prefer a little bit more, but having LeJonte ranked as low as I do is nothing negative towards LeJonte. I really do think he's a good receiver.
And do you know who's really good at making comps whenever I have time to do it? Me, because you love the Trey Tucker comp for LeJonte Western.